A while back, when she first moved to L.A., Jessica worked at a pole dancing studio, an exercise place. The pay wasn't great. She was just a receptionist. But there were things about the place that she just loved.
You know, we got to take classes, the receptionists, and you're in a class with supermodels. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, Cindy Crawford was in my class. And so then it would be, It would be like, you know, Cindy does her dance, and then it'd be like, all right, that was beautiful. Jessica, it's your turn. And
oh, and you're soloing?
Yeah.
You have to solo?
Right.
What kind of exercise class makes you solo? Another nice thing about the job, once she checked everyone in for a class and the class started, she could take these long breaks. Once, she strolled over to Starbucks, and on the way, she saw this poster on a telephone pole. Somebody had found a lost animal.
And it said, pet found, above a picture of a cat. And I just thought it was so weird that they said pet found and not cat found.
Which got her thinking. And when she got back to work, without much to do, she decided to make a poster of her own.
I just wrote cat found above two pictures of possums that I had printed off the internet. Like, one of the possums kind of looks like he's like crouching, disturbed by an invasive camera lens. And then the other possum is hissing.
I have to say, the second possum is actually kind of scary. It's baring its sharp teeth, kind of snarling. And then handwritten underneath, there are bullet points. Male, no collar, not very friendly. I think he might be scared.
I said, not housebroken either, which I drew a sad face next to.
And then it says, found on Sunset Boulevard. If he is yours, please call. And then a phone number.
Yes, my phone number.
She made a few copies, less than a dozen. I put them up around her neighborhood. The idea that some hapless, well-meaning person would put up a poster like this thinking that they had a cat just seemed so funny to her. She thought it was obvious that it was a joke. She really didn't expect the calls.
Within 2 days, my phone just wouldn't stop ringing. And I'm not exaggerating about that. Like, I had to turn my phone off because it was just constantly, constantly, constantly ringing.
Hi, I just saw a poster. It says cat found.
I'm calling in regards to the sign you have about the cat found.
I'm calling about your cat found sign, and I'm just wondering, are you serious? Because I don't think that's a cat.
And then when I started listening to the voicemails, you know, it was kind of like this very unscientific, I would say, social experiment, because you could really, like, lock the calls into three groups. And the largest group of people were actually very kindly just calling to tell me that it wasn't a cat and that it was a possum.
I just want to let you know that the picture that you have is of a possum and not a cat. So you don't want to call animal control because it has rabies.
I'm a kind of a wildlife guy, and that's a possum, a male possum. And you probably
want to release
that.
I'm not sure if it was a joke or real, but I'm sure you know by now probably it was a possum. I should probably let it out so it's not in your house destroying everything, and it hopefully doesn't have rabies, and hopefully you didn't get hurt, didn't bite you.
And it was like they were usually concerned for my well-being or the well-being of the animal.
You probably just want to get rid of it, you know, let it go or throw it away. But all right, God bless, take care.
But anyway, that was nice of you to try to help a poor little soul like that, okay?
So I would say, like, you know, 70% of the people who called were just calling out of, you know, the kindness of their own heart and concerned. And then maybe 20% were calling like they were in on the joke. You know, and so calling to say, that's my cat.
Do you have my cat? Oh, my cat. His name is Giorgio.
And then would make up a story about their cat or pretend to cry because they miss their cat.
Like this next guy, who the sound quality of this isn't so great. He says it's his cat, and the cat is a really gentle spirit.
He's a really, really, really gentle spirit, but his behavior is erratic, so... same bed with people, but he can get, you know, a little aggressive. So you got to thump him in the nose.
You got to thump him in the nose, he's saying.
Just thump him with your knuckle.
Clearly, very bad advice. Jessica says maybe this guy is just trying to mess with her. Which brings us to the last of her three categories of callers, making up maybe 10% of all calls, she says.
They're the ones who are mean and not in on the joke. Like, they're calling to call you an idiot.
Yeah, that cat, it's a possum, you frickin'.
Hi, I think you found my cat. I was just calling in reference to your poster. If you could call me back, that'd be really great. Oh, and by the way, you're a idiot. That's not a cat. Bye.
Jessica did not go into this with any particular thought about the kind of reaction she was going to get. But the fact that so many people felt a need to call her and warn her about the possum, and that only 10% of the callers went out of their way to be mean, she says normally she thought, you know, people as a whole were not so great. She wasn't somebody who had much faith in humanity.
I mean, you know, for good reason.
Sure.
But so, yeah, so I was like a cynical person, but then when the calls started coming in and the majority of them were so nice, it was very surprising to me.
It's interesting that your conclusion to this is like, oh, people are surprisingly nice.
Yeah.
You never hear that lesson. I feel like so many things in life really come down to if you think people are nice or not, if people are going to try to do the right thing. I feel like it runs all through our politics. It runs through personal situations, whether or not you think people are going to basically do the right thing and be kind most of the time.
Right. What do you think? Do you think they are going to do the right thing and be kind?
Oh, my God. Of course. Like, I'm so squarely on the side of like, oh, yeah, most people are going to try to do the right thing most of the time. But I definitely get into lots of conversations all the time with people in my personal life and, you know, just elsewhere who are just like, oh, of course that's not true. Of course that person's trying to rip you off. Of course they didn't mean well when they did this.
Right. When I made the poster, I would say it absolutely surprised me that people wanted to be helpful.
Folks on social media are hyping up a cult classic horror movie from the 80s. But here's the catch. The movie, it doesn't exist.
It's called Zapotha, and it is the brainchild of an 18-year-old musician from Oxford, England, named Emily Jeffrey. Just a few nights ago, she made a post on TikTok that said, "What if we created a fake 80s horror movie called Zapotha?"
She challenged her followers to comment about it everywhere they could to make people think it was a real film. Why, you ask? Jeffrey says it started as a way to spread her music.
My music is heavily 80s inspired, heavily inspired by like the kind of horror genre, I suppose. And so like I've always made links to like my songs belonging in chase scenes and things like that.
Jeffrey says she can even picture how Zapotha would end, and she has the perfect song in mind.
It'd be like the villain. Oh my God, it'd be the villain showing up at the end and like looking up at the camera after you think that they've like died. And then the end credits would roll and it would be so cool. And then the song plays out as the credits are rolling. That's totally what it would be.
The TikTok that revealed this song and started the Zapotha trend has over 7 million views. Emily Jeffrey says the fan response to the concept of Zapotha has been mind-blowing.
There's fan fiction, there's like movie posters, cosplays as well. People are dressing up as the characters. It's such a cool way that people are expressing themselves at the moment, and I love it.
Ana Diaz is a culture writer for Polygon. She says the community forming around the fake movie Zapotha is not that different from fandoms of real movies.
Co-creation is a deeply fulfilling experience. People want to contribute to something that's larger than themselves. And there's something really exhilarating about seeing others interact with it and build on it.
For her part, Emily Jeffrey is content to let the Zapotha community decide what comes next.
I don't want to just take Zapotha and then decide exactly what it's about and what it is and take that away from all of these really creative, amazing people. Like, I only came up with the name and everyone else has done everything else.
That's Emily Jeffrey, creator of Zapotha, the film not coming to a theater near you.
You heard me pretend to be.
Folks on social media are hyping up a cult classic horror movie from the 80s. But here's the catch. The movie, it doesn't exist.
It's called Zapotha, and it is the brainchild of an 18-year-old musician from Oxford, England, named Emily Jeffrey. Just a few nights ago, she made a post on TikTok that said, "What if we created a fake 80s horror movie called Zapotha?"
She challenged her followers to comment about it everywhere they could to make people think it was a real film. Why, you ask? Jeffrey says it started as a way to spread her music.
My music is heavily 80s inspired, heavily inspired by like the kind of horror genre, I suppose. And so like I've always made links to like my songs belonging in chase scenes and things like that.
Jeffrey says she can even picture how Zapotha would end, and she has the perfect song in mind.
It'd be like the villain. Oh my God, it'd be the villain showing up at the end and like looking up at the camera after you think that they've like died. And then the end credits would roll and it would be so cool. And then the song plays out as the credits are rolling. That's totally what it would be.
The TikTok that revealed this song and started the Zapotha trend has over 7 million views. Emily Jeffrey says the fan response to the concept of Zapotha has been mind-blowing.
There's fan fiction, there's like movie posters, cosplays as well. People are dressing up as the characters. It's such a cool way that people are expressing themselves at the moment, and I love it.
Ana Diaz is a culture writer for Polygon. She says the community forming around the fake movie Zapotha is not that different from fandoms of real movies.
Co-creation is a deeply fulfilling experience. People want to contribute to something that's larger than themselves. And there's something really exhilarating about seeing others interact with it and build on it.
For her part, Emily Jeffrey is content to let the Zapotha community decide what comes next.
I don't want to just take Zapotha and then decide exactly what it's about and what it is and take that away from all of these really creative, amazing people. Like, I only came up with the name and everyone else has done everything else.
That's Emily Jeffrey, creator of Zapotha, the film not coming to a theater near you.
You heard me pretend to be.
business. The Driving Soundscape. A new playlist. Why your EV is making funny noises.
Motoring's soundtrack used to be generated by the petrol engine and car radio. Near silent battery power and snazzy infotainment systems have provided an aural void and a high-tech way to fill it. Car makers are giving their electric vehicles' occupants and anyone within earshot an alternative set of sounds to enliven the journey. One trend is to replace the roar of a petrol engine with the roar of a petrol engine. Artificial noise generation offers a flavour of the past in the cars of the future. Many EVs can blast passengers with fake engine noises, just as the engine sound of cars has long been tweaked and tuned in sportier models to sound more raucous in the cabin than on the road. Some new models can now inflict that cacophony on the outside world. The Abarth 500e, Fiat's souped-up electric version of its popular small car, was launched last year with a speaker in its bumper to mimic the petrol version. Hyundai's hot hatch EV, the IONIQ 5N, likely to go on sale this year, goes one better. As well as broadcasting car noises, it can also screech like a fighter jet and, for added driver feedback, will jolt slightly between fake gear changes. The future is as important as the past when it comes to filling the empty stave of electric motoring. EVs usually come with an array of large screens filled with whizzy graphics that demand tuneful accompaniment and an array of new functions that gives an opportunity for a fresh chorus of bleeps, trills and bongs. Meanwhile, regulators in America and Europe insist that EVs emit noises to let pedestrians know they're approaching. The 500e's warning is a strumming guitar. Some companies, like Mercedes-Benz, leave these acoustic signals to in-house technicians. Others, like Renault, reckon that their sounds will underline its singular identity and enlist noted musicians. Videos recently posted on the French firm's website highlight its collaboration with Jean-Michel Jarre, a pioneer of electronic music. It follows a trail blazed by BMW, which in 2019 engaged Hans Zimmer, better known for his Oscar-winning film scores, as its resident composer. Fortunately for motorists pining for the peace and quiet of the EV age, all these options come with an off switch. Business. The Driving Soundscape. A new playlist. Why your EV is making funny noises. Motoring's soundtrack used to be generated by the petrol engine and car radio. Near silent battery power and snazzy infotainment systems have provided an aural void and a high-tech way to fill it. Car makers are giving their electric vehicles' occupants and anyone within earshot an alternative set of sounds to enliven the journey. One trend is to replace the roar of a petrol engine with the roar of a petrol engine. Artificial noise generation offers a flavour of the past in the cars of the future. Many EVs can blast passengers with fake engine noises, just as the engine sound of cars has long been tweaked and tuned in sportier models to sound more raucous in the cabin than on the road. Some new models can now inflict that cacophony on the outside world. The Abarth 500e, Fiat's souped-up electric version of its popular small car, was launched last year with a speaker in its bumper to mimic the petrol version. Hyundai's hot hatch EV, the IONIQ 5N, likely to go on sale this year, goes one better. As well as broadcasting car noises, it can also screech like a fighter jet and, for added driver feedback, will jolt slightly between fake gear changes. The future is as important as the past when it comes to filling the empty stave of electric motoring. EVs usually come with an array of large screens filled with whizzy graphics that demand tuneful accompaniment, and an array of new functions that gives an opportunity for a fresh chorus of bleeps, trills and bongs. Meanwhile, regulators in America and Europe insist that EVs emit noises to let pedestrians know they're approaching. The 500E's warning is a strumming guitar. Some companies, like Mercedes-Benz, leave these acoustic signals to in-house technicians. Others, like Renault, reckon that their sounds will underline its singular identity and enlist noted musicians. Videos recently posted on the French firm's website highlight its collaboration with Jean-Michel Jarre, a pioneer of electronic music. It follows a trail blazed by BMW, which in 2019 engaged Hans Zimmer, better known for his Oscar-winning film scores, as its resident composer. Fortunately for motorists pining for the peace and quiet of the EV age, all these options come with an off switch.